Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Layla Hathaway.
Come true.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram, a.k.a. Love Goddess, Lady Love. Yes, yes, that was Layla Hathaway, Angel. You're my angel. All right. Let's get ready and turn with you, recognizing that there is only one presence in one power, and on this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot where our God is not. And so as we get ready and become very intentional, I want us to be intentional about the breath. As we invite the stillness into this right now moment, moving into the presence, come Holy Spirit. And as we take in a deep breath, breathing in through our nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, releasing it through the nose. And in this right now moment, I want us to still. And in this stillness, I want us to be very conscious of the breath, because there's power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. And I want you to breathe deep into the diaphragm and remember to breathe into the heartbeat, because the heart has wisdom. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And let's do it again. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. Release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. Release. And as we come into the center of our thoughts, Divine Holy Spirit, come. Precious, precious Holy Spirit. Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious and Holy Spirit. And all the forces in the universe, I come today asking that you remove all of me right now, God. Fill me by your presence right now. Give me a clean heart. Ask you this morning that every word of my mouth, every meditation of my heart would be so acceptable in thy sight. Come, Holy Spirit, speak. Speak to me this morning. As I come this morning to command a financial miracle to arrive upon each and every person under my voice, God. I command all financial deserts and wilderness to be turned into springs and pools of flowing living water in the name of Jesus this morning. We bind every spirit of unfruitfulness in our life. We command our barren grounds to be healed and restored in the name of Jesus this morning. We call forth our finances restored, prosperous, and full of God's abundance according to the Christ plan for our life. We are blessed because we walk in the consciousness of Christ right now, God. Thank you for your miraculous supply of our every desire, want, and need according to your riches and glory, God. We praise you. We glorify your holy name for all that you've done and what you are doing in our life. We receive by our consciousness the full restoration of our financial position right now, God, that all channels of supernatural blessings are fully restored unto us, our family, and our blessings, that we'll be so blessed that we'll be a blessing to be a blessing, God. We're calling forth supernatural blessings right now. You said in your word, Father, Mother, God, it is you who gives us the power to get up. That is your covenant, and it is established in this earth and in our life. Come, Holy Spirit, as we seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and you said that all things will be added unto us right now, God. Teach us to profit. Lead us in the way that we should go, God. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, God. You are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Wealth and riches are in our house because we know that we delight greatly in your word, Holy Spirit. Knowing that the blessings of you are upon our life that makes us rich and adds no sorrow. We are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Blessed in the city and everywhere we go, God. We are the servants of you who takes pleasure in the prosperity because our favor is how we walk with your grace. Lord, you called us. You make our way prosperous, Holy Spirit, daily, each and every day. You say how we start our day is how we live our day. I thank you right now, God, that you have brought us into our wealthy place, God. That you have given as we give. It is given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The floodgates of heaven are open over our life. We receive more than we have enough room to receive. There are no holes in our bags. And we thank you, God, that our gates are so open that the wealth of the nations come into our life continually in the name, nature, and love of who you are. You shower us with blessings, God. Our homes are filled with plenty. As you have commanded the blessings upon our storehouse, God, they are full and overflowing. And so today, God, we thank you that you have brought us into a land of prosperity, God. That you have led us into a land flowing with milk and honey, O Lord. And that your grace abounds toward us because we have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. Our head is anointed with oil and our cup runneth off, God. We have riches and honor in abundance. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now because you brought honey out of the rock for us. We have plenty of silver, gold. Your river of life leads into the land of wealth. We thank you for the angels of blessing. We thank you right now, God, for all your angels of abundance that surround us right now, God, that you bless our hands and anoint them right now, that you have anointed our forehead, God, that you have anointed our mind with overflow and abundance, that you have anointed our feet, that everywhere we tread our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God. And on this day, we give thanks
for your financial thanks, that we are your favorite rice, God. We thank you for witty ideas. We thank you for new inspirations, God. We thank you for books that are written, New York Times bestsellers, new homes, new cars, new ideas, fresh revelations. We just thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you right now for all that you have done for us. Holy Spirit, we give thanks this morning. We thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. We thank you, God, for the anointing of Abraham upon our life, God, that we'll be so blessed that even the blessed will call us blessed this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the anointing of Christ, for the consciousness of Christ that is upon us right now. So in this prayer right now, God, as I release this prayer unto you, so right now, I give thanks that doors are opening that no man can open, God. I give thanks, Holy Spirit. I just give thanks for who you are in us. Thank you, God, that we've learned how to take the limits off you, God. That we've learned to get out of our own way, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is.
For favor, this is my season to reap what I have sown. This is my season for grace, for favor. But I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing. My season for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it.
This is my season
to do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say, this is my season for grace. For what else? For favor. This is my season to reap what I
ready to prophesy with your body language. Just say, what you say? God is leaning in my direction. Don't prophesy. I said he's leaning. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You gotta say it. Say it.
He's leaning
in my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed
for grace,
for favor. This is my season. Come on, y'all.
Doing what I have known.
Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
Yes, yes. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. Let's talk about being blessed in the dark places. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. Blessed in the dark places. We all go through situations in life where we don't understand. Company get downsized, get laid off, a friend walked out of a relationship. All of us at some time, we go through dark places, a loss, a sickness, a divorce, a child that broke your heart. It's easy to get discouraged and give up on your dreams and just settle there. But God uses the dark space. So I want to come and talk to you about the dark places today. They are all a part of God's divine plan. Somebody didn't hear that. God uses the dark spaces. And I want you to marinate on that. God uses the dark spaces. God uses the dark spaces, and they're all part of God's divine plan. I want you to think of it like a seed. A seed cannot germinate in the light. As long as the seed stays up on the shelf, it will never become what it was created to be. You have to plant the seed in the soil in the dark place. So that's what's on the inside will come to life. So that what's on the inside will come to life. Let me say that again. A seed cannot germinate in the light. As long as the seed stays up on the shelf, it will never become what it was created to be. You have to plant the seed in the soil. You have to plant the seed in the soil in the dark place. So that's what's on the inside will come to life. So what is on the inside will come to life. In the same way, there are seeds in you, the seeds of your dreams, the seeds of your goals, the seeds of your talents, your potential, that will only come to life if you go through that dark place. Moses spent 40 years in the backside of the desert alone, felt like he had blown it. In that dark place, something was happening on the inside. You see, God was getting Moses prepared. God was getting Moses prepared. Moses was learning and developing patience. Without the dark place, Moses would have never held up the rod and part the rod sea. See, the dark place is a prerequisite to stepping into the fullness of your destiny. Esther was an orphan, a young lady that had lost both her parents. She felt alone and forgotten, a dark place, but God used her to help save the people of Israel. Elijah was so depressed he wanted to die, a dark place, but yet he was one of the heroes of faith. Or David, he had an affair with a married woman, had her husband killed for 1 year. He was broken, sick, guilty, yet he was called a man after God's own heart. You see, it's in those dark places where we really grow. That's where we grow. That's where our character is developed. We learn to trust.
to persevere. Our spiritual muscles are getting stronger. In the dark places, you pray more. You draw closer to God. You get quiet and you listen to what God is saying. And in those dark places, you reevaluate your priorities and you spend time with a new appreciation. You see, you may not realize it, but it's in the dark places that you're being blessed. Something's happening on the inside. It's helping you to realign your vision. And when you go through enough dark places, you don't complain about the small things. Come on, somebody. You don't get upset because you didn't get your parking space. You don't lose your joy because you got stuck in traffic. You're not offended because somebody was rude to you. You've been through too much to let that sour you. You get a new kind of zeal. When you've been through something, especially when every voice tells you that you couldn't do it, even when the odds are against you, I tell you, you can make it through. And you've made it through before, you can make it through again. When you've gone through a few dark places, it strengthens you. The dark places is what made you into who you are today. Even though I tell you, I like the good times a lot better, I prefer everything going my way, but it wasn't the good times that brought out the best in me. See, it was those lonely nights, those times that I didn't think I could do it on my own, the times that I didn't see a way. That's when I really learned how to pray. That's when I really developed an unshakable confidence in God. That's when my faith was stretched and increased. I've learned not to complain about the dark times because there are blessings in the dark spaces. Somebody ought to say amen. I come to tell you today, there's blessings in the dark place. God is doing something that only God can do. I remember when I was nervous to stand in front of people. I was nervous to be on this prayer line and speak. But as you get planted in those dark places, see, it was those dark places that helped me really develop my spiritual muscles. Even though I didn't like what I was going through, even though I didn't like having to be stretched, I was uncomfortable. I wouldn't change it. It made me better because God uses the dark spaces. When Joseph was falsely accused and put in prison for 13 years, the scriptures say, as he sat in those chains of iron, his soul entered into that iron. He developed a strength, a perseverance that he could not get any other way. I'm about to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. I want you to listen real clear here. There are some things you can only learn in the dark places. Come on, somebody. This is for you. Some things you can only learn in the dark places. So quit complaining about what you're going through. It may be uncomfortable. You may like it, but it's working for you. You're getting stronger. It's developing something inside of you that you can only get in the dark. You cannot reach your highest potential being in the light all the time. Let me say that again. You cannot reach your highest potential being in the light all the time. One of the ladies called me the other day, and she was in a dark space. And she was trying to go down further. She called the wrong person if she wanted to go down further in the dark space. I said, baby, you just need to rejoice in the dark. Some of the greatest things that ever happen in the dark. Some of the best things that ever been created was created in the dark. And so if you're in dark, literally and figuratively, just give God all the glory right now. Because the best things come out of the dark. You cannot reach your highest potential being in all the light. It sounds good, but it is stunted growth. David said, God, enlarge me in my times of distress. Come on, family. He wasn't enlarged in the good times. He was enlarged when things was in distress. You see, David wasn't one of those teenagers who was out having fun with his friends. He was taking care of his father's sheep month after month. He was out there alone, nobody to talk to. Didn't look like he could ever accomplish his dreams. But those years in the lonely shepherd fields are what helped prepare him to become a champion. And see, what I like to say is that those separations, those dark parts, the part of you that gets separated is a separation. It's the preparation for your destination. Yes. You see, when David went out and defeated Goliath, people called. But the fact is, it didn't happen overnight. It happened because he went through the dark spaces in his life with a good attitude. When he didn't get his way, when he didn't understand it, when he felt like God had forsaken him, he just kept doing the right thing. David understood this one principle. His attitude was, God, this is a dark place and I may not see it, but I believe that it's working for my good. I believe I'm getting stronger, developing a character, patience, and learning to trust. At the right time, not only did David come out, but David came out increased, promoted, better. It's not a coincidence that David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Come on, family, say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David was saying, in effect, the same God that led me to the green pastures is the same God that led me beside the still waters. It's the same God that would lead me through the valley. Come on, somebody. Let me say that again. David was saying, in effect, the same God that led me to the green pastures, the same God that would lead me beside the still waters, is the same God that's going to lead me through the valley. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Let me tell you, that was whenever I was in fear. Now, being a teenager and being the kind of teenager that I was, being out at 2 o'clock in the morning, walking down dark streets by myself, and sometimes fear would come up, and I would say, this was my favorite part. Though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. I would say that all the time, over and over again. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. You see, it's easy to trust the presence in the green pasture. That's easy. You see, we can trust God beside the still water. But what I'm asking you to do today is trust God even in the dark valley. God will not leave you nor forsake you. You might feel alone. You might feel forgotten, but life hasn't turned out the way you want it. But God is still leading you. See, the dark places are all a part of the plan to make you into who you were created to be. Let me say that again. The dark places are all a part of the plan to make you into who you were created to be. It may not be easy. And you may not understand it, but faith is trusting God, even when life doesn't make sense. Faith is trusting in the process of the unknown, even when it don't make sense. You know, I dare you to believe that he's blessing you even in the dark spaces right now. That what's meant for your harm, God is going to use for your good. David went on to say, after you go through the valley, after the dark places, God would anoint your head with oil. because he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Notice you got to go through the valley to get to the table that's already been set before you. You got to go through the loneliness, the betrayal, the sickness to get to the fresh anointing, the new beginning. You got to go through the shepherd's field doing the right thing when the wrong thing is happening, through the struggle, through the lack, through the debt before you come to your cup that runneth over. Now, too often we want to overflow and not the valley. I know I did. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to overflow and not the valley. I wanted God to give me more favor, more resources, and more influence. God said, okay, fine, but you got to be willing to go through the valley with me. Let me see. I got up on this prayer line every day. God is the source of my unlimited supply. Not thinking that God was going to take me through the valley in order to get to the answer to my prayer. Oof. It was in the dark time. It was in the dark times that I learned so much. I wouldn't give nothing for my journey. See, it's in the dark times that we even prove to God what we really made of. Can God trust you with more favor, with more influence and more resource? You got to be faithful in the shepherd's field when you're not getting your way, when it's lonely. Yeah, Janine, I don't like my boss. That's why I show up late to work. My boss doesn't treat me right. That's why I slack off. No. If you can't be faithful in the wilderness, how can you be trusted to be faithful in the promised land? You got to have a new perspective. I want you to know today the dark places are opportunities to grow. You're not there by accident. Let me say that again. You are not there by accident. And so many times, Come on, God. So many times I wanted to give up. I wanted to say, God, what do you want? How long, God? How long? Many times I got up before this to get on this prayer line. I promise you, if I had it all to do again, I'd do it the same way. I didn't care if nobody showed up because this prayer line was my lifeline. This prayer line was my lifeline. I had people come to me and say, Janine, I don't know how you get up every morning doing that prayer line. You talk too long. You do this. You do that. People criticized me, talked about me. But they didn't know that God was using me for me. They didn't know that God used this prayer line right here, this love journey prayer line that started out being called the Source. It started out the AM prayer call, then the Source line, then it was the love journey. But let me just tell you this. They could talk about how long it is. They could talk about me. They criticize me, even my friends, even people I love. Love them still today. But they didn't understand God was using me. God was using this line for my lifeline. Because it was in the wilderness that the love journey saved me. It gave me an opportunity to grow. And I realized I wasn't there and I wasn't here by accident. And if God wasn't going to use this love journey for my good, God wouldn't have never allowed it. I may not have understood it. It may not have made sense. But let me tell you, God knows what God is doing. It is on this love journey that it was like clarity, clearness of my purpose came. I began to see myself differently. I began to have a different relationship with God. All the people and things that I've interviewed and all the conversations and all the lessons that have been on this line, it was for me. There's no way I would be who I am today if it wasn't for the love journey. And many days when it first started, I thought I was doing it for other people. But it became so clear that it was about stretching, growing, and allowing me to become who God sent me to the planet to become. See, this is where I surrendered. This place is where I surrender right here. This is where I got up every morning and asked God to let me remove myself. And I didn't even realize it until this morning when I was praying. That's why I stopped and I'm like, wow. Each morning I got up and asked God to remove me from myself so that the Spirit can use me. And this is the place where I learned about myself, where I got more clarity and got clear on my purpose and understood why I came to the planet, understood my strength and my clarity and my focus all came from the unfolding of the love journey. You see, it was even when my mother left the planet. My mother left the planet on February 25th. It was the love journey. Yes, it was the love journey that guided me through that space. It felt like I was in another world. It felt like something clipped in this quiet space. Just, I can't even explain it. I remember one day waking up like, wow, I'm back to earth. I feel like myself again, but it was a love journey. It was a dark place, and sometimes when you go through a loss, it's easy to get discouraged and kind of feel like God let you down. And there won't be any more anytime something is dying in your life, something else is coming in life. It's like the end, but God has a new beginning. People betrayed me and walked away. When relationships died, when I felt abandoned, I realized God was birthing a new relationship in me. When I got laid off of work, and even though coming out of that valley, I came out trusting, believing, knowing that God is still in control. Knowing that I'm coming to a table that God has already prepared for me for a fresh anointing, for a fresh increase, where my cup is going to run over. And even though it felt like God was blessing everybody around me, and God felt, it felt like God had forgotten about me. I felt I didn't understand it. I didn't even feel like it was fair. But I didn't get bitter. Even people that I had helped, people who I had placed in high positions, who called me one day and said, Janine, can you? I was working and everything was good. And she said, can you help me get into a certain space? Whenever people want to get to know somebody or want somebody to come open up a door, they call me. So she called me. She like, they meet at this certain place every Saturday. She said, and I want to get to know them. She said, because I believe that this can turn my life around. She said, Janine, when my life gets turned around, I'm going to help you and I'm going to bring you up. I walk in the place. I walk over to the guy, see, didn't know him from Adam's apple, and introduced myself. I said, my name is Janine Ingram, and he's one of the richest black men in Chicago, right? And introduced him to her, and I said, can we sit with you? And he was like, yeah, come on. So we sat, and we had a conversation. I paid for the lunch. I had to go. I told her she could stay and do what she had to do. Then we came back next Saturday. We were doing it, but I had to leave because I had to pick up my daughter from dance school. And I'm just trusting that when she got what she needed, she was going to help me. Baby, she was one of the most powerful. When I tell you, one of the most powerful business associations in Chicago for black people. I got her in that position. I gave her a job. I called the people, helped her get everything that she asked me to help her. Didn't know nobody. Walked in there and has, right? Let me just tell you. She got in that position, became BFS with the mayor of Chicago. I called her. She wouldn't even take my call. wouldn't take my call, and I felt some kind of way for a long time. I'm like, that wasn't our agreement. But God said, let it go. It took me a long time. I ain't gonna lie, y'all. And it wasn't an easy thing to let go. When people said her name, it brought something up inside me. I had to do my work because God said, what I got for you, she ain't gonna give it to you. Yeah, you helped her, but that was me blessing you to bless her. And I had to let it go, let it go, let it go. Because that didn't happen just not one time. Several times. Because if you call me and say, we're going to make this plan, we're going to do this, I believe that you're going to do, I'm going to do my end. Because if you say you want to get a door open, I can open the door. I can get the door open now. But I had to learn how to let go of all the people that I had expected to turn around and do for me what they said they was going to do. And I had to just let it go. But I still had to work on my own bitter forgiveness things that I was holding on to because I did feel some kind of way that people, I feel like if you help me and I say, you call me, you think I'm not going to take your call? You think I'm not going to return your call? And you, the reason why I asked, she even said when I saw her at one of the big funeral, she said, man, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. Oh, I wanted to say, I know. And I wanted to say, why you ain't returning my call? But I didn't. I said, just, yeah, you blessed. And I was good. And I was glad to see her son. Because, you know, I used to, you know, I was a kid person. So I was the one who was take the kids out. While she doing what she was doing, supposed to be developing a plan for us, I had the kids taking them to where they supposed to go. Because you can't, you know, you can't drop your mother duties just because you want to be successful. You got to add that stuff. So I figured she do her part, I take the kids where they got to go. They pet saxophone lessons, dance lessons, and pick them up from school and do what they got to do and take them to the circuses and, you know, be responsible for our children. Why she doing what she doing, huh, baby? She wouldn't even take my call. But I didn't get stuck there in that valley. I didn't get bitter and lose my passion. There was some nights where I was upset. I'm not going to lie and tell you that I wasn't feeling some kind of way, but it was okay. I learned that God don't want you to be blessed in the way that you think you should be blessed. Sometimes, you know. And that wasn't the way God wanted me to be blessed. God wanted me to be a blessing. But God didn't want me to be blessed back from that way. And let me tell you, you can't give a blessing and not get one in return. It just may not come from where you think it should come. So don't get stuck in your valley. Don't get bitter and lose your passion. Some people call me Janine. I don't understand why this is happening to me. They laid me off after all these years. I felt the same way. I got laid off after 20 years. And I love my job. I wasn't one of those people who hated getting up and going to work. I love my job. I love doing what I was doing. I love my job. I was the bomb.com. You see, I had to learn not to even wonder why. I was getting stuck in conversations with people who were also laid off, and they was thinking and they were having like nervous conversation and fear conversation, and I had to stop talking to them for a while to build my strength, knowing that nothing but good was going to happen to me, nothing, that God was going to take care of me. And even when I didn't know how, God knew how. Even when I was down to nothing, God said, I don't need your help, I just need your permission, get out the way. See, if you're always trying to figure it out, you're going to get stuck. Think about this in punctuation, an exclamation point is simply a question mark straightened out. If you want God to take your question marks, the things you don't understand, and turn them into exclamation points, you have to trust. You got to trust in the process of the unknown. Because in those dark places where it isn't fair, instead of wondering why this is happening to me,
no turning around. God, I know you're still on the throne. I believe on the other side of this valley is my exclamation point, the table that's already prepared for me, the fresh anointing, the right people, the new beginning, the new level. And if you go through the dark valleys like the exclamation points, you'll see God amaze you with God's goodness. Exclamation point one, you may be in a dark place right now. You went through a breakup. Somebody broke your heart. You're hurting. You're lonely, wondering if you'll ever be happy again. I can tell you firsthand, I'm a living witness. If you will keep honoring God, if you will keep moving forward, God is going to bring somebody in your life better than you ever imagined. Somebody kinder, friendlier, that will treat you like a queen or a king. You won't even miss that person that left you because God has an exclamation point waiting on you on the other side. Maybe your health is a dark place. You don't see how you're going to make it. The medical report is not good, but I want you to stay in faith. Stay in faith. Perhaps it's your finances that's in a dark place. You had a bad breakup, a disappointment, a loss of client. You wondering, is it ever going to get any better? Yes, on the other side of the valley is your cup that runneth off. Come on, Holy Spirit. Our cup runneth off. Increase, abundance, a new level of your destiny. You may have been in the valley for a long, 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 long time. But you need to get ready. This is a new day. This is a new year. You're about to see the breakthrough. You're about to see the overflow. That situation is about to turn around. Don't quit believing. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. God has an exclamation point coming your way. God is going to put you in all the right places at the right time. God knows how to get you to your destiny. A bad breakup can't stop you. Rumors of people talking about you and saying things about you that's not true. Perceiving a situation in a negative light upon you, that's not true. Injustice can't stop you. God has the final say. Let me tell you, it was many times when people said things about me that wasn't true. But I was in a dark space, and I didn't have all the stuff I needed, didn't know how to do it. I was in the dark space trying to figure out how to do this love journey sometimes. And people got upset. Can't give up because you know what God said to you. You can't stop because somebody upset with you about some situation. You got to keep going because you know what God is saying to you. God said if you go through the dark places with the right attitude, you will see those exclamation points coming your way. The surprising greatness in the scripture when Jesus had the little boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, about to feed the thousand, he lifted them up and gave thanks. Then he said he broke the bread and he multiplied it. Was in the breaking, the more he broke it, the more it multiplied. There are times that we all feel broken, broken dreams, broken promises, a broken heart, a young lady. The young guys, we can feel broken. But don't give up on your dream. It's not the end. That brokenness is not the end. It's a sign that God is about to multiply you. That's what God said. I apologize. That's what David said when he said, God, enlarge me in my distress, God. Multiply me in my brokenness right now, God. Because it's in that brokenness. It may have been meant to stop me, but God would use me to increase me. The loss, the disappointment, the person that didn't keep their word. They thought they was hindering me, but in fact, they were setting me up for God to multiply me. And it took a minute for me to see it. See, The more broken you are, the more God's going to increase. The bigger the disappointment, the bigger the blessing. God has beauty for your ashes and joy for the morning. Come on, you gotta say that with me. God has beauty for my ashes and joy for my morning. The brokenness is only temporary. Don't settle in the valley. Don't get comfortable there. The valley is not your home. The shepherd is leading you through the valley. And on the other side, there are new beginnings, fullness of joy, great relationship, health, and wholeness. God is working right now to multiply somebody in their dark space right now. So I just wanted to tell somebody this morning. God told me to get up and tell somebody they are blessed in their dark spaces. Blessed in your dark spaces. A seed cannot germinate in light. And as long as the seed stays up on a shelf, it will never become what it was created to be. You have to be. You have to plant the seed in the soil. You got to plant the seed in a dark place. So that's what the seed is all about, so that it can come. What's on the inside can come to life. So that those seeds that are inside of you, those dreams, goals, talents, gifts, talents, and all the things that's inside you, was planted inside you. And the dark places are just bringing it to the light. That's my message today, family. That's my message. I wouldn't give nothing for the journey. I hear people say that, and I used to hear people say it. But at that time, I really didn't have a journey like what I've had now. I wouldn't give nothing for the journey. I wouldn't give nothing for the journey. Nothing. Family, you might be in a dark place right now, but it's in those dark places that your seeds are being planted so that it can come to life. So that it can come to life today. Separation is the preparation for your destination. Trust God in the dark places. It's easy to say you highly blessed and highly favored when everything's going right. But can you say you blessed and highly favored and you're in foreclosure? Can you say you blessed and highly favored and you in the red in your bank account? Can you say you blessed and highly favored even though the relationship didn't go the way you wanted to go? God, enlarge me in my distress, is what David said. What does that mean? I said, God, multiply me in my brokenness. Amplify my brokenness right now, God. To ink so that I can feel and see the increase on the other side, God. God, enlarge my distress. That's what David was saying. David was asking God to increase him, even in his dark spaces. So I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about, if you're in your dark space, God can bless us, even in the dark space. I can tell you so many times when I got laid off, I got behind so many months. I can't even tell you how many months I was behind. And I woke up one day, get on this prayer line. I said, now, God, I was getting ready to get on this prayer line. You're going to have to give me a sign. You said you would give me a house I didn't build. You said you would give me land that I didn't even toil, God. Now, when I got laid off, that scripture kept coming to my mind. And I kept saying, God, what does that mean? Because, see, I was taught to, if you don't work, you don't eat. To hustle. And I used to be a bragger. Oh, I'm a hustler, baby. I don't want to be no hustler, no. Because I realized that God said, if I just be Janine, that God would send me what I need. I want God to sit. I want to be a receiver so big of what I just want to get paid just by being Janine. I just want to get paid for being me, like Oprah said. Oprah gets paid just for her being Oprah. Can you imagine somebody calling you saying, I'm going to give you a $1 billion contract just for you being you, just for your brand? Family. God told me I'll give you a house you didn't build, land you didn't toil. And I had to ask God, well, what does that really mean, God? I was laying in that bed when I got laid off. God, I got a Mercedes that need to be paid for. I got this and that, and I just made a deal with the IRS. God took it all and took care of everything, paid off the Mercedes, paid off the IRS, and I didn't do a thing to earn it. It was just people calling me saying, you know what, God told me and wrote me a check. You know, I was thinking about you and wrote me a check. But I had to let go of the fear. Because long as I was making $15,000 a month at my job, the source of my unlimited supply, everything and everybody processing now, it was easy to say, but when I couldn't figure out how things were going to get paid, when I had got to the point where I had exhausted my savings, it was getting scarier and scarier as the money was getting little and little and little and little. And God said, why are you scared? You said I was your source, not your bank account, not your job. You said I was your source. See, God, I had to prove to God that I believed that he was my source. And that wasn't easy for me. I'm not going to lie to you. That was not an easy time. There was times when I would get up and we were doing the sunrise service and didn't have a dime to pay the people. Didn't have a dime to pay the people at the sunrise service, to pay for the talent, to pay for the permit, to pay for the insurance. What? Oh, my God. But God was the, but let me just tell you, I remember praying in that tub one morning on the sunrise service. I said, God, you just bless all the people around me. You just keep on blessing them. And I'm not saying I'm not blessed. I was praying, y'all. And I said to God, you need to bless my children. They had Apple computers. They had Apple phones. They had money in their savings. And, baby, I was just going through it. And I was like, you even blessing my children. I was thinking about David. I once was young and now I'm old. I never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed beg bread. I was like, and I am grateful. But what about me, God? What about me, God? God said, you ain't never even asked me for nothing for you. Do you know, God told me right then and there, taught me something that I didn't even realize. I had never prayed for myself. I got up every day praying for my husband, praying for my children, praying for my friends, praying for the nation, praying for the city, praying for the world, but I never prayed for myself. God said, you ain't never asked me for you, for nothing. I had never asked God for myself for nothing. Well, God, I'm about to turn this thing around today. I'm about to ask you right now, God. God said in his word, you have not because you ask not. So I'm telling you today, family, if you're in your dark place, no matter where you at in this situation, God can bless you. Even in your dark space, God can bless you. That's my message for today, and I just want to, if you got any questions, comments, concern, you can press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. If you have questions and you're on teleconference, you just star 6, and I will acknowledge you and answer your question or honor your comment. Whew, that message was for me, family. Oof, that was a good message. Even I don't know, sometimes I just be like, God, you just really just be talking to me. You know how you go to church and you sit there and you be like, God sent this message for me. Sometimes when I get off this prayer line, I be like, God, I know that message was for me. I know that message was for me. That's how I feel right now. I feel honored that God sent me a message that I needed to hear today.
And I'm so super grateful. So super grateful. All right, family, well, I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is the only choice. And I want to remind you that power to live your God-sized dreams is inside you. I want you to get out your way today and live, not just dream, but live your God-sized dream. I'm going to leave you with Reverend Ike, Inside Job, to remind you the power is in you.
Excuse me, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
And this is why God wants you to prosper and to be in health, to be in total well-being, even as your soul prospers. Let's talk about that statement for a moment. As your soul prospers, even as your inner man prospers. This tells us something, that prosperity is an inside job. I wish I had that tape here by Reverend Ike. Reverend Ike did a talk on that subject. Prosperity is an inside job, and this is what this tells us. In order for your life, your affairs to prosper, your soul or your inner man must prosper. Say with me again, prosperity is an inside job. So we're here talking about prosperity because we want to experience more and more prosperity. So then we realize that this is an inside job that we've got to do. You see, too many times we think that prosperity and success are outside jobs. And we sometimes work on the outer so hard. Mm-hmm, don't worry. Come right back. And remember what? Prosperity is an inside job. The soul must prosper. Right back to the words of Jesus, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right action, and then all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, your mind must prosper before your behind can prosper. That's the way I talk in New York. A prosperous mind makes a prosperous behind. But too many times you see people are so busy they work the behind to death. Two and three jobs, and yet they're still two steps behind the bill collector. First, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the mind, and its right action. And then all things shall be added unto you. Yes? Physical good health is even an inside job. All the good that I desire is an inside job. Say that. All the good that I desire is an inside job. And that's why we need to go to meetings and seminars and workshops like this. That's why we need to buy these books. That's why we need to buy these tapes. Because they help us to do our inside work. Many times I jog with the cassettes playing into my ear through an earphone. I got up early this morning and turned on one of Reverend Ike's tapes. Last thing last night, I listened to one of Reverend Ike's tapes. Sometimes I ride right up to the meetings listening to the tapes. Why? I'm working on my inner man. Working on the soul. So start working on the inside and knowing that whatever kind of good that you want, it's an inside job. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll get busy working,
There are a number of ways that you can work on the inner man. We work on the inner man by affirmation, such as we've been doing all day long, by saying the good that you desire to be, to do, and to have. Because what you say is what you get. Not just out of the mouth, it must be said where? From the heart.
From the heart.
You must say it until your very heart, your very mind, your very feeling nature begins to say it. Visualization is another great technique for working on the inner man, because it can be also said, what you see is what you get. Say that. What you see is what you get. So write down this question for self-interrogation. How do I see myself? Now, you've got to deal with that. In the first session, we gave you two more questions that were similar to that. What do I think about myself and how do I feel about myself? Now, deal with it from the point of how do I see myself? Say that. And here's another twist to the same question. What do I see myself being, doing, and having? Let's have it. You've got to really deal with that. And then immediately begin to see and to think and to feel yourself being, doing, and having the good that you desire. And get that inner man, that inner vision, that inner feeling, that inner mind in tune and working and prepared. Let your soul prosper. Let the inner man prosper. I want to quote from Reverend Ike again. I don't know why I'm always quoting that Reverend Ike. But he says this: if you want something, first get it in your mind. If you want something, first get it in your mind.
All right. If you want something, first get it in your mind, family. All right. That was Reverend Ike. Right here on The Love Journey. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. All right, that was another Love Journey episode, and we're going to play Mesa, Keep Your Head to the Sky.
Sky. ain't causing anyone any pain.